Ready for the show? I'm ready to start.
10, 9, ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11. Tower clear.
Roger all.
Well, greetings, my friends, all over the world, the solar system and beyond. My name is Martin Horst, and I welcome you to my program, ET First Contact Radio, running live on bbsradio.com station 1. My guest today is Joseph Keringer, and Joseph is an internationally known didgeridoo musician and sound therapist. Like myself, I don't play the didgeridoo, but I'm a sound therapist. In his sound therapy practice, he uses concert class didgeridoos, combining traditional Chinese medicine, meridian and organ theory with Ayurvedic chakra philosophies, creating a unique, powerful, therapeutic sound healing experience. Joseph has been playing an Australian Aboriginal didgeridoo for over a decade, using it as a deep meditative tool in his personal shamanic for his clients. Joseph presents on the effects of didgeridoo sound therapy for the purpose of clearing energetic and emotional stagnation within the energetic body to wellness and healthy lifestyle seekers, as well as to medical, university and holistic professionals. Without further ado, Joseph, I want to heartfully welcome you to the program.
Thank you so much for having me on your show today, Martin.
Yes, Joseph, and I feel it's a real honor to have you, Joseph, because the didgeridoo, I think, is one of the most ancient instruments in the world. Ancient civilizations, they were already here. So you know a lot about the origin, because I believe I heard in some stories that the Aboriginals are actually the oldest tribes on the planet in Australia. And so maybe you know more about it than me. But the sound of didgeridoo gives me a feeling of completeness, a feeling of being in the center of the universe, because I believe the sound waves that are produced by a didgeridoo are more than just sound waves. I believe there is something to it that is enchanting and that is conjuring, you know, conjure me. It's when somebody plays didgeridoo and plays it well, as you do, I believe, people are conjured. People are being brought into magic. So please tell us what you know about the magic of the instrument and how you use that as a tool to heal people.
You know, it's interesting. I'll go back to the beginning for me. I woke up from a dead sleep in 1996, sitting up saying, I'm going to play the didgeridoo. And, I didn't know what it was. And interestingly enough, at that time, Bill Harney, him and his tribe, who are in Katherine, Australia, outside of Darwin, were doing a ceremony where they were putting out to the universe that they were going to have a group of people come to their land and They didn't know who these people were, but they were calling out to the universe for them to come from all over the world, and they were going to teach how to make didgeridoos and send them back with all the didgeridoos that they made. And not too long after that, there was a guy from Portsmouth, New Hampshire, named Rob Harvey, who he ended up going with his wife to Australia on a didgeridoo sabbatical. Like, he wanted to go find and learn about the didgeridoo, and he had only actually played PVC pipes at that point. And he, traveling around the outback, he had bought himself a Volkswagen bus, and he was, you know, doing the quintessential outback thing. He ended up breaking down on Bill's land and making didgeridoos with Bill for about 4 months, and then came back to the United States. And so about 6 months after I had my dream, 6-8 months after I had my dream, I ended up running into this shop in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, that had all of these didgeridoos that turned out to be from Rob. And I picked one up out of the basket. I still have that didge to this day. It's the first one I ever played, and made a perfect sound on it. And the woman looked from around the corner and said, "Do you play the didgeridoo?" And I said, "No." And she said, "Yes, you do." And I held it up and went, "Yes, I do." And from that point forward, I started playing, and I ended up getting that instrument, and it was the foundation of my didge playing. And interestingly enough, 2 years later, I met Rob. I didn't even meet him at the time. And we were talking, and I'm sorry, no, it was more than 2 years later. It was in 2002 I met Rob. And I was in his shop at that point. He had his own shop in Portsmouth. And we got to talking and realized that my didge was one of the didges that he made with Bill's tribe. And that's kind of the fascinating thing about the didgeridoo. I mean, they often say that didgeridoo players, you don't choose to be a didgeridoo player. The didgeridoo chooses you. It was very much that case for me. Like, I picked it up. I just kind of instinctively knew how to play. And the thing about the sound with it was, it always, when I was playing really in the very beginnings for myself, which it's always, there's always a part of it that's always for you. So, I mean, that's kind of the amazing thing about it. But really in the very beginning years, I was in a place where I needed a lot of deep healing. And I would just sit on this sandy beach next to a river that was behind my house. And I would play with the trees, the river, the dog, that my dog who would sit next to me and just kind of listen to me play. And it was this connection where I felt like I was becoming a vibration that was just part of the planet. And that's the fascinating thing about the sound, is that it's so primal. It's so back to the origin. You know, when you look at all the theories, the scientific quantum astronomy, quantum physics theories about what this whole hologram is, it's all, you know, there's super light and sound vibration. You have energy, you have mass, you have all of these different things. But at the very beginning, and that singularity that was the moment before the Big Bang erupted, you know, what was that piece that was missing? And to me, it always seems that it's consciousness, and the didge kind of encompasses that vibration of the consciousness of the cosmos, that song of coming into being. And for many of the tribes, that's what it represents as well. So,
yeah, that's interesting that you're saying that, Joseph. By the way, touching story about yourself, I must say that I believe that indeed, if you look to quantum mechanics at wave theories, that the sound of the didgeridoo is actually indeed the most ancient prime sound, and probably it's there's a hum, a background hum in the universe that looks like the sound of the didgeridoo. I heard the Jupiter sounds. There was a Voyager 1 who passed Jupiter in 1980 something and recorded the sound electromagnetically, and if you slow down the sound, it sounds like a didgeridoo. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know it. I've actually heard the recording you're talking about, but I've never heard it slowed down. That's really cool to know.
Yeah, I slowed it down, and then you can hear it sounds like a didgeridoo. By the way, I believe that music, positive music, when it's played from the heart, can heal people and can heal animals and plants. And So what is your take on music, and how do you practice your musical therapy sessions daily? What is it that you do to help people heal and uplift their vibration? What is it that you do practically in your daily life?
In my practice, the work that I do with the didgeridoo, there's two types of sessions that I do for people. I do group sessions, because a lot of times I'll travel, and I travel all over the United States pretty regularly, and I've played outside the country a couple times. And what I do in the group workshops is a lot of times we're just arranged in a circle or a semicircle. In a private session, what I do is I have the person lay down on a zero gravity chair or a cot, and something that'll allow them to be suspended and comfortable, and for me to be able to get the didgeridoo underneath them, in front of them, and over them. And essentially what I do is create a sound cocoon. So in a group workshop, we end up doing either a chakra clearing, do a traditional journey, and it's traditional for me, but I use a traditional Native American principle of journeying, and I apply it to the didgeridoo sound. And then I have a couple other workshops that are like mind-body connection or quantum healing workshops. But in a private session, what we do is we actually craft the sounds that we're going to use based on what the person's individual needs are. So if I have a client that's coming in and they've been dealing with, take an example of like chronic bronchitis. They don't, you know, they've had this chronic bronchitis. They don't know what's causing it. And they want to increase their qi and then clear out any stagnation in lung. Well, from a traditional Chinese perspective, the lung stagnation is attributed to grief, sadness. And so we would work on trying to determine where the grief sadness was coming from. And then where traditional Chinese medicine fails in determining what qi you would work on to clear out an energetic stagnation from a musical perspective, Ayurveda sort of picks up the torch there. And the heart chakra, which interestingly enough deals with joy, love, stoicism, nurturance, all of those same emotions just from the other perspective. So you can see the interrelationship between Ayurveda and traditional Chinese medicine, between the emotional components, lungs versus the heart chakra. What we'll do is we'll work in the key of F, because that's the key of the heart chakra, to clear the energetic stagnation, re-entrain that energy center back up to its healthy, normal vibration, and hopefully reinvigorate the energetic field, the physical body, so that they can get a handle on their healing and start promote and start their physical body start healing again. So that's how that's how I approach a private session. And I've done work with everything from, you know, very physical bone breaks, fractures, muscular issues, because the didgeridoo will produce infrasound, and those same sound waves are the sound waves that they use in various chiropractic with ultrasound machines, sports medicine, if they're doing ultrasound work to relieve muscle tension, muscle knotting, any type of ultrasound work where they're relieving the muscle tension, the muscle knotting, stimulating bone growth, all of those different things, you can use natural forms of sound to do that. And before, it's been about 2.5 years now that they've changed the machines to where you can actually work on people with metal implants. But up until about 2.5 years ago, if a person had knee replacement, shoulder replacement, any types of pins put in their body, you couldn't use medical ultrasound machines to help promote their physical healing, because it had the potential to create a microwave and cook them from the inside out. And how I found out about the application of using the DIG for people with metal implants is I had met a woman who, now it's been probably close to 27 years, 28 years ago, she had broken her back in Holland. And after they had set the pins in her back, part of her post-operative support work that she was getting from the medical establishment, the medical facility that had done the work on her, was having two didgeridoo players play on her back for an hour a day. And that was to help promote the physical healing. So there's very physical effects that the instrument produces. Then there's that energetic clearing effects. And the other thing that the didgeridoo does is it engages people to go into deep meditation. And this is really the most important thing that the instrument does. You know, I don't consider myself to be a healer, and I don't look at the didgeridoo as a miraculous healing instrument, but what it does is it creates an envelope of sound that allows people to go into deep meditative states where they can engage their mind-body connection, they can promote clearing of energetic stagnation, and it allows them to step back into the driver's seat of their conscious and subconscious and really take control over their physical body again. And also work with their universe to manifest and co-create the things that are coming in and out of their world.
Yes, because actually the sound of a didgeridoo, it feels like somehow the language of the cosmos, you know? It's like a spiral. The sound is like a spiral going inwards and outwards. And it is touching. Yes?
Oh, I was gonna, I have a client that she was one of my very first clients when I first started my practice, actually over 10 years ago now. And she has been coming to my workshops for years and lives in the New England area. And now when I go back, if she can make it to one of the programs that I'm doing there, she still comes in. And it's fascinating because she always used to describe it as she felt like she was being engulfed in the cosmos and not the place before or after death, like not in a macabre way. And the first time she said that to me, it took me a moment to wrap my head around what she was saying. But then she clarified it, that it's the space that exists without the physical. So when you think about what happens when we pass on to the next life, we drop our physical body, but the consciousness is still there. And what ended up what was happening for her, and other people have described this, but not as directly as she really did all those years ago, is that she would go out of body and be in between that place where, you know, between the physical and the spirit. And she was just hanging out in that interdimensional world every time she was going into these meditations, which is really cool, you know, an older woman as well. I mean, in her 70s, and like having seen an amazing amount of life. And this was like the most unique experience in her world that she had the opportunity to participate in. So it was really fascinating to hear that description.
Yes, Joseph.
Oh, there you are. Okay.
I'm sorry.
You there for a second. I'm sorry.
No. There was just a little hiccup here. Yes. Can I ask you maybe you can sum up one of the most beautiful moments that you experienced while playing the didgeridoo with a group of people or with an individual? Maybe you can give some descriptions of special moments that happened in sessions.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's been a really interesting journey across the board for me. I mean, when I first started doing this work, I ended up doing a lot of work in the very beginning with people who were suffering post-traumatic traumas, and really interesting, intense symptoms that Western medicine hadn't been able to really help these individuals with. And there was a woman who came into one of my group workshops, and I was at a place called Heaven, interestingly enough, a metaphysical bookstore in Newburyport, Massachusetts. And there was a woman who was in the workshop, and her legs, I could see when she was laying on the floor, her whole body, but her legs in particular, were tensing up, and it almost looked like I knew she wasn't having a seizure. And I had done my EMT at Northeastern University in Massachusetts years earlier. So, I mean, I have a at least first responder level training medically. And I knew she was not, that wasn't what was going on for her. So I'm playing the dig and I'm watching her. And after the workshop, she came up to me and she's like, you know, I really feel like I need to get a private session. I was like, yeah, that would be a good thing, I think. And like, we can talk more about it. So she came into my office and we did a session for her. And this same phenomenon started to happen again, and it was really far more intense, and where she was like clenching and loosening. And there was a moment where got a really clear sense that there had been a trauma that had happened to her, an abuse trauma. And when she came back from her meditation, I asked her about it, and she had been suffering for years about a feeling as if that there had been some sort of rape that had happened to her when she was unconscious. And there was a horrible accident where her best friend had passed away, and she was a teenage girl, and they had put her on sleeping pills because she wasn't sleeping. And she had always felt like something, there was something she couldn't quite pin down that had happened to her. And there, no one had ever been able to address it. But inside of this subconscious state, she was able to release the experience of having been abused by some member of her world while she was unconscious. And she had a very real physical response occurring while she was getting the session. And she had a very real remembrance of it coming out of the session. And it had been something she'd never been able to put together until she had gone into the subconscious state, because that's where it had happened to her, was inside of this dream state when she was under the influence of these sleeping pills that the doctors had prescribed her. And all this tremendous anxiety she had carried around, all of these other feelings that had been affecting her world, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia symptoms, all of these things went away for her after this session, which was really amazing because she was finally able to resolve that inside of her world. So, I mean, that was like, that happened within my like first year and a half, like starting to do this work. And I had had this series of various different clients that had come in with these really intense traumas and abuse traumas that had come up. But then there's been moments where there's been these absolute, I mean, which is a beautiful experience to help someone with something so intense like that. But then there's been moments when I've been outside playing my didge with a group of people in Jamaica for a retreat. And there's a very shallow bay in this this area where the dolphin don't usually come in. I mean, the woman who was the caretaker of the villa that we stayed at said that in her, 50, 60 years of growing up living in this bay, she had never seen dolphins come into the bay. And I had been standing doing Qigong and playing the didgeridoo on the edge of the water with my Qigong mentor, this guy Ed Hubble, and said that we were going to call the dolphins in. We were kind of kidding around. Like we were just, and we had, no one had told us that they had never come in before. And so we stood there on the edge of the water in about calf deep water playing the didgeridoo and didn't think anything about it. And then the next morning, like in the shallow of shallows of the water, as we were doing morning Qigong with the group together again, there was a mother dolphin and her baby that were playing in the shallows, and nobody in this area had ever seen anything like that. And so, yeah, it's cool. There's these interesting, fascinating things that occur around playing the didgeridoo. And the stories of what people have experienced with the playing that I've done, that they never cease to amaze me. I'm always really completely humbled that somebody would have that type of a connection with a sound that I've produced with a hollow stick. And it's a pretty amazing thing to be part of. So,
my friend, do you believe that the Aboriginals, the original tribes of Australia, were able to do magic with didgeridoos? Do you think they were able, with playing the didgeridoo, to achieve a trance state and to communicate with the afterlife?
I think that they communicate with the dream time, which is another way of saying the afterlife. If you look at, I take more of the Aboriginal view on what the afterlife is, that there's kind of no before, no after, there just is. And the difference between the dream time and the physical world is that the physical world is sort of the Disneyland for the spirit. It's where we come to from the dream time of the spirit world to experience the illusions of physicality, separateness, all of these different things that are going on, to be able to have emotion, to be able to have all of these different sensations that we experience here. And I absolutely believe that the Aboriginal tribes have been using the didgeridoo to hold a portal between the veil of the physical world and the dream time of the spirit world. There's a documentary that's in post-production in Australia right now, that there's a master didge maker, storyteller, Aboriginal chief that is, and I'm going to butcher the pronunciation of his last name. I'm looking it up right now, but I can spell it for you. And he's leaving to his children this documentary that's being done, so that he can pass on the knowledge that wasn't necessarily being learned by people. And he's here it is. The production is by Madman Films, and it's Djalu, Djalu. He's a tribal chief, and he's actually the first time I've heard of a tribal elder mention the fact that the didgeridoo can be used for healing. And I've actually spoken to a third generation Aboriginal medicine man who kind of hinted at me that, you know, like, you know, we've always known that it can be used for healing, but, you know, we don't talk about it with white fellas. And that's always kind of been the take on this. But Djalu is actually gonna, in this documentary that's coming out, he specifically talks about the healing aspects of the didgeridoo and the Aboriginal tribes' beliefs about it. And they alluded to it inside of the trailer. And they actually even show him in the trailer clearing a heart chakra of somebody holding the didgeridoo in front of their chest as he's playing it. So that to me was really encouraging to see that this wisdom and information is going to be passed down. I'm also a little bit different in that I believe that the didgeridoo may possibly predate the Aboriginal tribes, because the Aboriginal people actually come down out of Southeast Asia and the Philippines. That's where their human genome is from. And Filipinos as well as the Southeast Asians both have their own versions of didgeridoos. And there's archaeologists who believe that the original didgeridoos most likely were made out of bamboo, because the idea of an early human picking up a termite-filled log and deciding to stick their face against it makes far less sense than somebody finding a hollow piece of bamboo and sticking it against their face and learning how to make a sound, then progressing to something more rich and beautiful, like a piece of eucalyptus. And so my mother's Filipino, and when I first started playing the dig, she looked at me, and I was all excited to show her, and she looked at me and said, "No, that's really not that big of a deal. They play those outside of the hills of Manila, just made out of bamboo." And I really didn't think about the significance of her statement until after the Human Genome Project came about, when they determined how old the Aboriginal tribes are and where that genome comes from. And then also with the fact that the Indonesians as well as the Filipinos both have didgeridoo. So that whole region has a didgeridoo like instrument. But then, you know, traveling to South America and seeing the influence that that the didgeridoo has had in a place like Cusco, where it's not supposed to be indigenous to and has been completely adopted into the culture of the Andean people. It's now part of what, you know, part of their identity. It's a pretty amazing sound. I mean, it's such a raw and rich primal sound that really has the ability to transform your consciousness.
Yes, it certainly is. Actually, if you agree with me, Joseph, there's the listeners. And it's... Yes?
You broke up a little bit there, so I didn't catch that first part. If I agree with you...
Okay, Joseph. I have a piece of music that I would like to share with you and the listeners. I won't play the whole track, but it's called Initiation by Phil Thornton, and it's from 1990. And there's a didgeridoo sound in there, which is actually quite astonishing.
Oh, I'd love to hear it.
Yes, and I think that it will be also amplifying your work in a way that people can have the feeling of didgeridoo and how it sounds. So here it comes. Initiation by Phil Thornton. Here it comes, my friends. Thank you. Yes, Joseph.
The beautiful,
isn't it? Yeah, it's called Initiation. Yeah. It's more than 11 minutes. And I just wanted to let you and the listeners feel what it is about to feel a real didgeridoo, and when you also add other instruments. Do you sometimes experiment with people that play keyboards, or I think you also could combine a cello or a contrabass with a didgeridoo. You can combine many instruments when you make a session, a meditative session, a trance session. I think it's really cool to do that.
I perform with everything from hand percussionists, singing bowl performers, some things that are more traditional, like what they were doing in that with the voice chanting and clapsticks, all the way through to I tour with a gentleman named Josh Harris, who was Seal's keyboardist and music director on tour. He's been doing major label production for the last 20 years. And we have both sound therapy based composed arrangements that are produced that are produced specifically for me to play the didgeridoo to. And he performs on an electronic music instrument called a reactable next to me while arranging all of this bed music for me to play to. But then we also turn around and have another incarnation of the project called Table Syndicate, where we go and play electronic dance music. And actually later this year, we'll be performing at an event in St. Louis, Missouri with the Crystal Method, who are some of the godfathers of the electronic dance music world. And inside of that whole spectrum of, you know, 40,000 years of musical experience with the instrument that you can touch on, you know, I literally play all the way back to the beginning as well as up to, you know, the modern. And when I first started playing, I was working in a blues and jazz club, and I was the bar manager. So I would sit in with bass players, guitarists, drummers, in, you know, traditional American jazz and blues bands. And that's how I first started playing the didge. So it's fascinating because you can play it in its most traditional vocal chanting, clapstick, and transcendental sounds. And then you can play it inside of something that's more Western traditional music. And when people ask me, like, well, did the healing effects change from one to the other? And though the intention of the playing may be a little different from my end in terms of like the rhythm and what I'm doing inside of the music, but I don't change didges. I mean, I have a complete set of didges and one dige in every key, but I'm still playing this, whether I'm playing the G dige for meditation, or I'm playing the G dige inside of a breakbeat track. It's the same instrument. Those are the same sound waves. And so it has that effect of engaging people on that primal level inside of the music.
I think it's activating the gut feeling in people, the real feeling of the activating the base chakra, but actually all the chakras to the crown chakra. Are there specific ways to play the didgeridoo that can activate certain chakras? Is there a way that you can play with a didgeridoo and play in a certain way to activate the base chakra until the crown chakra? Are there techniques for this?
Well, so from a playing standpoint, whenever you're playing the didge that you're working with, you're going to encompass yourself in the sound. So you're going to get the benefits right away from that. You're going to change your breathing. If you have the ability to circular breathe, you're going to go into a meditative breathing state. All of these things are very beneficial to altering your personal vibration, your personal state. From the sound perspective, and it's the fascinating thing about one of the other fascinating things about the didge, amongst all of its fascinating things, just being a hollow stick, is that inside of the sound, you're producing harmonics between 0 and 1,000 hertz. What you may hear when you're listening to a note is a single set of sound waves that are very specific around what's driving you to hear, like A, which would be at 440. What ends up happening is that it's not just producing 440, it's producing 440 up to 1,000, 440 down to 0, but the anchoring sound wave is going to be at 440. So inside of a single dig sound wave, you have all of the sound waves, all of the frequencies of the sound waves making up that sound, which is kind of like it's like a prism. When you take a beam of light and you put it through a prism, you see all the different colors that make up that white light. Well, the didgeridoo has all of the different notes that make up the sound and frequencies of our world, but you're only hearing one portion for the key that it's in. So you can do a chakra clearing, a base clearing. You can activate different chakras using one didgeridoo. When I first started doing this work, I had that didge that I was talking about, the first one that I played, before I tuned it, it was, and I didn't tune it for years. Like it was, I had no idea you could even tune a didge when I first started playing. But the didge was between D and E flat. So it wasn't a true E flat. It wasn't a true D, and it lived somewhere in the middle. And it was kind of in key with everything that I would play to that was, you know, inside of those major, inside of an E flat minor or a D sharp major scale, you know, whatever I was playing next to, if it was in those, in that area. But now when I do the work, if someone's wanting to specifically open and clear their chakras, I will start with a dig in the key of C and I'll work my way up. So key of C first chakra, key of D second chakra, key of E third chakra, key of F fourth chakra, key of G throat chakra, key of A third eye, key of B your crown. And I'll build a session of clearing out of that. And actually, if I can mention, I mean, I know I'm going a lot over a lot of stuff here. If people are curious about, and you're curious about, there's great charts on my website, which is Didge, D-I-D-G-E, therapy, therapy.com. So digetherapy.com. And there's a couple different charts where I even talk about the interrelationships between the keys and the energy centers. And it's based on Ayurvedic principle, but that's what I'll do now is I'll work on clearing people from the base chakra up through the crown. And I'll do it, you know, lift the sound the same way you would want to raise the energy in that activation.
Yeah, I'm actually having a look at your website right now, digetherapy.com. And I can see that there's also SoundCloud sound samples on the website. So I would like to encourage people that are listening to look at Joseph's website, digetherapy.com, and I will just play a little sample from digetherapy. Yes, Joseph, that was beautiful. The Third Chakra Soundscape, live in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Can you just give us a little flashback story about how that happened, that concert in Pittsburgh? I would like to know how people can find information that when you're giving a concert and how they can get to you and your agenda, your future plannings on...
Absolutely. So if people want to find out where I'm going to be, the best place to do that is at digtherapy.com, D-I-D-G-E, therapy, T-H-E-R-A-P-Y.com. But we have a Facebook page, Twitter page, and SoundCloud page, and it's all of those website addresses. So Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, and it's / digtherapy, just like the website. So it's really simple to remember. And so that's the username for those, is digtherapy. And your question about the Pittsburgh performance. So we did a tour in 2014, in the fall of 2014. And it included going to Oklahoma, Oklahoma, Pittsburgh, and St. Louis. And actually that year I had also been in Montana. I go to Montana regularly. I was in LA a few times, but we had those particular shows, Pittsburgh, St. Louis, and Oklahoma, we had live recordings that were done at the Holistic Centers and Yoga Studios we were at. And that particular recording is a combination of the board feed coming out of the actual soundboard that we use. And when I'm touring and playing with PA, I use a Bose system, because when you're doing this type of work, you want to make sure that the sound quality is as good as what you're playing acoustically. So we actually have some of the best speakers in the world to use for that, so that people are hearing this crystal clear sound. And that recording is a combination of both the PA from the Bose as well as the soundboard. And Josh arranged all of the synthesized components in that track that you're hearing were arranged and performed live by Josh Harris using the Reactable. And then the didgeridoo was me playing all live as well. And these are amazing moments meditation and experience when we get the chance to do this. I'm working with another young woman now who will have our first project that we're putting out. We're doing a series of totem meditations, and she is a classically trained symphony composer. She actually just recently graduated from the Royal Welsh Conservatory in Cardiff, England, and in Wales. And she is going to Ithaca University for her master's program now in music. And she's composed the first in a series of symphonic meditations, fully orchestrated symphonic meditations that we're going to be releasing. And the first one is called the Crow Meditation. And it's a 6-movement, 58-minute meditation that goes from C to G to E to D, and then to there's another C in there, and these are 5 to 10 minute pieces that produce a full 58 minutes. Like if you were to go to an orchestra, a symphony orchestra, and hear something put on by Mozart in multiple movements. This is the way that we've arranged this next series. And her name is Mariana Filippi. She's one of the most talented young musicians I've met coming out of this next generation of musicians. And it's an absolute gift and honor to be working with her. And we'll have that next piece put out. But all of my music is available on iTunes, Amazon. You can find all of that through the website as well. And and if people have questions, they can email me as well. info@digtherapy. I'm happy to answer questions and be available for people.
Wonderful, Joseph. Now, my friend, can you express the highest wish you have for humanity and this planet to unfold? Of course, world peace is what many people are saying. But how do you also have a positive view on the outlook of things changing and the ascension process? And I'm sure you are aware of all those things.
And it's funny because world peace is always my first wish. But I mean to not just leave it at that simple, you know, that complex yet simple answer. I've gone, we all do, we all go through moments of doubt and darkness and where, because I mean, that's the human condition. You know, we're here to, you couldn't experience, boundless joy without having the potential to experience, you know, boundless sadness and suffering. And so we have this duality on this plane that we experience. And I have in the last decade of going through this, you know, this over a decade now of going through this healing process for myself, doing this work, you know, because we never stop working on ourselves. I've become far more optimistic, you know, about things in general, you know, and I don't take such hardline stances without understanding. You know, we have to come to a point where we all get along. And that's what I'm really hoping for. And I don't mean that in just like saying peace, but I'm talking about looking at the fact that this is the first time in our, as a species, that we've ever been so interconnected through so many different mediums. I mean, you have Facebook, Twitter, the telephone, you've got all of these different electronic vibrational ways of staying in touch and knowing what's going on with the world. And it's only been for a handful of decades that we've been doing this. And the impact that that's going to have on our species for the next century can't even fully be quantified right now. So as we're coming to terms with this new cultural reality as a singular species, not looking at us as black, white, Arabic, European, Chinese, like, but starting to look at ourselves as human and seeing that we're all on a single rock that has a small veil of atmosphere that's floating around in a giant ice cold vacuum. And we're all neighbors. And as we become closer and closer in neighbors, we start to go, okay, well, you know, maybe Monsanto wasn't the greatest company on the planet for the last like five decades, but we really need them to help us fix all the damage that they've done. So we're going to work with them and try to get them to, and stop making enemies. You know, and I used to come from a very, like, I was in the environmental lobbying world for a really long time. And I know that the more that we push people away and make people enemies, and the more that we...
Yes, Joseph? Hello? Joseph? I'm losing Joseph now. Anyway, it was beautiful what he was saying.
There we go. I'm sorry, I lost you there.
Still there.
There we go.
Yeah.
As long as we continue to take these stances of not saying, I'm not going to get along with you. I mean, a perfect example, you know, we look at the politics in the United States between the different political parties. We need them to work together. So that's my big wish, is I want people to figure out how to put down their differences. And it goes beyond peace. Like, we can find peace and still not get along. I want people to actually realize that we have to work together. We're all on the same team. And that's my biggest wish for humanity, is to realize that we're all human on the same human team with each other.
Yes. So. That's beautiful. We have to do it together. We have to get it with the mainstream media, with the politicians, and we have to help them to look in the other direction so that all the noses are in the same direction, that everybody looks for a way that to get along together so that we can save the planet and have a wonderful, beautiful future. So, Joseph.
Yes.
I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart to be here, and I wish you well, my brother. And
thank you, my brother.
One day we can sit together, and I know you are a shaman and you are a healer and a magician, and I consider myself also, you know, a natural person. I try to live from the of the universe, and to keep it simple, but to keep it beautiful, and to be. And to live in happiness. So I wish you happiness, love and light, and also to the listeners. And I want to thank Dawn for facilitating here. So much love to everybody.
Thank you so much for having me as a guest, and I return all those wishes to you. It's an honor to be on your show today. Thank you so much.
Much love, Joseph.
Much love.